Welcome to another episode of You Conversations, where we have science-based, health-focused conversations with University of Connecticut Doctor of Physical Therapy students. I'm Mary Beth Osborne, and I am a physical therapist and professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program here at UConn. We have with us today a group of students who are looking at the inflammatory effect of alcohol consumption on the gut. So tell me about yourselves and how you landed on this topic.
So hi, our names are Krisha,
Diana,
and Jake,
and we're currently second year physical therapy students at the University of Connecticut. And so today we just wanted to talk about the inflammatory effect of alcohol consumption on the gut, like you talked about.
And so how did you guys decide? Was there something, some episode, or did you think this might be an appealing topic to our audience?
So alcohol is one of the most socially and commonly used addictive substances in the United States. And so today we just wanted to inform people about the effects of alcohol consumption on the body in regards to its inflammatory effects on the gut and brain health. And so we wanted to talk about a topic that everyone partakes in, and especially as college students, we wanted to dive a little bit deeper on exactly what we're putting into our bodies when we take a sip of alcohol. And you guys remember my birthday party last year and how we felt going into class the next morning, right?
Yeah, I know
you guys know what I'm talking about.
So absolutely, I think people don't give that much thought on the front end, but I think it's valuable information to sort of, be able to make a decision based on what, you know, the reasons behind how you might feel afterwards of over consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So we did want to talk a little bit about inflammation first. So like what it is and how alcohol affects that in the body. So inflammation is actually a part of our body's natural defense mechanism in which our immune system kind of detects and works to remove harmful or foreign invaders or pathogens and to start the healing process. So it's largely controlled by the immune system. And it's like I said, it's like there's danger signals that arise from injury or infection. So think about when you fall or scrape your knee, or if you get a cold or viral infection, that's when the inflammatory response starts to begin. So in response to these signals, there's actually immune cells called pro-inflammatory cytokines, which get released, and they promote blood flow and an increase in white blood cells to the area where there's damage. So unlike red blood cells, white blood cells are specialized in attacking the foreign invaders and attempt to recover and heal the body as quick as possible. However, so the inflammatory response, while it's a good thing, it can be a double-edged sword. So while it is equipped to destroy foreign invaders, it's also equally capable of damaging healthy tissue as well, specifically when we're talking about a prolonged inflammatory response. So we would call this chronic inflammation. So what is chronic inflammation? We classify this as kind of inflammation that's happening for 6 or more weeks. And this can often lead to detrimental effects to healthy tissues in the body due to the processes we just talked about.
Gotcha.
So it's important to note that inflammation is critical to the healing process. Our bodies wouldn't be able to recover the same without it. However, we do want to dive a little bit deeper into chronic inflammation and how external factors such as alcohol can keep inflammatory processes in the body going, even when they shouldn't be.
I see. So you're saying that the body, what I hear you saying is that the body has this natural response to invaders, which is a good thing, and it protects us.
Correct.
But the body perceives alcohol as an external threat to our body.
Exactly.
And it goes into overdrive. And
right.
So this natural system actually in turn hurts our body or causes this chronic inflammation, which
mm-hmm.
you're talking about.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Right, and that can really, like our podcast is about, is specifically inflammation on the gut. So I feel like I didn't know what the gut was for the longest time. So I feel like that's important to just describe for listeners too. So essentially the main task of the gut is to absorb water and nutrients. Nutrients are derived from the foods we eat and the drinks we drink. But prior to getting to the gut, the food that we eat is broken down into really, really small molecules. So when these pieces are really teeny tiny, the gut needs to decide what to do to them. And often the lining of the gut is picky. So the good stuff basically can go into your body and get distributed through the bloodstream into wherever your body needs these nutrients. And the large, potentially like toxic ones are sort of, they tell them to keep going through the rest of your body.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So that was one thing that we really wanted to emphasize for listeners, because I feel like that's key to understanding the effects of alcohol inflammation on the gut.
So when you're talking about the gut, you're talking basically about the digestive system, but correct, also other aspects of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so how the gut decides what pieces are going to go on into the body. It's like a gatekeeper and then, or a
yes,
bouncer.
So now that we talked about the gut and then also inflammation, how does all this tie into alcohol consumption? And so we did a bunch of evidence-based research on how alcohol really impacts this inflammatory response and ultimately whether or not it even affects your gut brain health. And so I'm sure everyone knows what TED Talks are, but we found a really good one by a well-known behavioral neuroscientist, and her name is Judy Grizzle, and she describes this process really well, and we're just going to play a little clip of it for you guys.
Meanwhile, alcohol stimulates the immune system, leading to inflammation that can damage cells within the brain, affect mood, and impair memory. And it can irritate the gastrointestinal tract and inflame the lining of the stomach and intestines. Alcohol may also slow down stomach emptying, which could lead to increased production of gastric acid. This is why alcohol can cause stomach pain, nausea, and vomiting.
That just sounds really unpleasant, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
stomach pain, nausea, and vomiting. That's what everybody gets up in the morning that says, let's like try to find a way to work these into our lives.
The usual like hangover effects that everyone feels.
Exactly.
So that's what happens, like, because alcohol is a toxin. So that's what happens when, and it stimulates the immune system and irritates the GI tract. One of the other articles we reviewed described this like general effect of alcohol on the gut. And so typically the way they described it is there's a healthy balance of good and bad bacteria within the gut. But when you drink alcohol, the balance of good and bad is the balance between good versus bad is disrupted, and there's more bad than good. And so this process of imbalance is called dysbiosis. And so dysbiosis causes increased amounts of bacterial growth and death. And when bacteria in our gut die, they release another substance called endotoxin.
So it's basically another toxin being released in the body, like on top of alcohol?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And so usually the gut lining knows that the endotoxin shouldn't pass through to become absorbed and distributed into the bloodstream. But the problem is when you drink alcohol, what Diana talked about earlier about the picky gut cells, they become impaired. So they don't work properly. And so they become less picky and they let more of the substances pass through, and that becomes absorbed into the bloodstream. And essentially that just increases their permeability.
Ah, that really makes sense. So it's kind of like the bouncer loses their judgment as time goes on. Like maybe even as they're consuming alcohol, if they're not supposed to be, but they're supposed to have good judgment as people come in and decide who's dangerous and who, you know, who should not come in.
Yeah.
And who should.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So we've established that there's a chronic inflammation and that alcohol doesn't, you know, kind of continues to cause damage or negatively affects the ability of the body to absorb good substances into the body that it wants to use, that there's negativity there. What about that connection between the gut and the brain? Did you guys come across that in your research?
Yeah, definitely. So earlier we did mention the gut-brain axis. And so what does this mean exactly, right? So this involves kind of a direct communication or connection between the gut and the brain, in which signaling happens between these two, and can actually influence the brain, and vice versa. So this connection and the signal sent between the two structures are influenced by gut microbiota. So the microbiota is actually a community of microorganisms in the gut that kind of live in peace, like as a community within our body. And they play a vital role in like regulatory functions regarding our like just health and like disease. So it consists of the good bacteria that Krisha was talking about, but it also consists of other microbes such as fungi and viruses.
Wait, I thought viruses were a bad thing though, like the flu.
Right, and I was hoping someone would bring that up. So while viruses are a bad thing, like, right, think of the coronavirus, like, that's not good, right? Right. Believe it or not, there are some natural viruses in our body that we rely on. Yep. So anyways, the role of the microbiota actually acts as a barrier for the bad bacteria and affects its ability to invade the body. So Andrew Humerdinck, he's, I'm sure some of you might have already heard of him. He's a professor, well-known professor of neurobiology and ophthalmology at the Stanford School of Medicine. He actually does a really good job describing the impact of alcohol on gut microbiota. And I did want to play just a little clip because I think he encapsulates really well what we're talking about here.
It's well known if you want to, you know, sterilize something, you want to kill the bacteria, you pour alcohol on it. But for centuries, thousands of years, really, alcohol has been used in order to clean things and kill bacteria. So alcohol kills bacteria, and it is indiscriminate with respect to which bacteria it kills. So when we ingest alcohol and it goes into our gut, it kills a lot of the healthy gut microbiota. All these pro-inflammatory molecules, those are being released. You've now got disruption of the gut microbiota. As a consequence, the lining of the gut is disrupted, and you develop, at least transiently, leaky gut. That is, bacteria that exist in the gut, which are bad bacteria, can now pass out of the gut into the bloodstream. You've got the release of this bad bacteria. You've got inflammatory cytokines and other things being released from the liver, and they are able to get into the brain through what's called a neuroimmune signaling.
There's a lot of scientific-based terms in there that we're going to help kind of digest a little bit. But basically,
digest, I like it. Yes.
But basically what he's saying is that the when you, like, if you were a kid and you scrape your knee and your mom puts like alcohol over your wound, it does kill off the good bad bacteria, but it also, like I was talking about earlier, it's like a double-edged sword. It kills off the good. The same thing happens in your gut when you drink alcohol. You know, some of the healthy bacteria also dies, as well as the bad bacteria. So the, as you can imagine, the protective lining of the intestines is disrupted, and the bad bacteria that would otherwise be kept in the gut is now able to enter the bloodstream. And as you can imagine, this could lead to disruptions of brain functioning and other organs as well. We do highly recommend listening to the rest of his podcast. Some of them are pretty long. I mean, that one was like a 2-hour long podcast, but he does do a really good job going more in depth on this topic and other topics like beyond inflammation.
He's a leader in the podcast world, especially for wellness. So maybe we could have him on next week.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So we learned about the gut-brain axis, but how exactly does this signaling process happen? Well, you see, microbiota found within the gut are also responsible for neurotransmitter release. And so neurotransmitters, if some of you don't know, are the body's chemical messengers. And so they carry signals from one neuron to the next, and these messages vary greatly and are dependent on the type of neurotransmitters that are being activated or used. So which specific transmitters that are released into the bloodstream from the gut are reliant on the types of microbiota present in the gut. So when the consumption of alcohol when alcohol is consumed, it actually alters or changes the gut microbiota, and this kind of disruption, when you change that proportion of the microbiota, the neurotransmitters released are also changed, and this can also lead to a majority of like adverse effects.
I mean, I am a neurologic physical therapist, and the fact that neurotransmitters are largely connected to the gut is a new thing to me.
It's amazing.
We didn't hear about this years ago, and it's not well known, I think, in the community.
No.
So I think the light that you're shining on that is like really important, that, you know, we think about when we're nervous, it's related, you know, to your anxiety and your belly, but there's a real science behind why, you know, that is. Excellent. So Is there any like, so is there a volume of drinking? Did you guys hear, learn about like how much drinking leads to severe damage? Is there a tipping point? Are there some like things that are better than others? Like how do we like take this information and move forward?
Yeah, so there's a lot of the different articles that we researched use different terminology for like how much alcohol was consumed, like such as like heavy drinking versus binge drinking. And so after doing some research, we found that binge drinking is defined as a pattern of alcohol consumption that brings your blood alcohol concentration to 0.08% or more. And then heavy drinking is defined as consuming 15 drinks or more and 8 drinks or more per week for men and women respectively.
Okay. I feel like that's not as much as I thought it would be. Like, I feel like in college, I knew people who would drink that or more in a weekend. So I think that's shocking to hear.
You bring up a good point. And with that in mind, like, I feel like in college, it was more like not as long term. And like what Jake talked about, like chronic effects, like, I think you need to be drinking for like long periods of time, like every day for these effects to happen. And like that being said, like drinking in moderation may not really induce like these inflammatory effects on the body long term, which is why like maybe in college it's not the same.
Gotcha. So it sounds like heavy drinking is talking about the period of binge. Which one is the alcohol content in your blood?
So binge drinking is that 0.08%.
Binge is one episode.
Yeah.
And that means how much you've consumed over how much time and your body weight and your sex and however goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
But the heavy drinking is more about your pattern.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are there types of alcohols that are okay to drink or that might actually be helpful?
Yeah. So believe it or not, we actually found some literature that supports one type of alcohol that might be beneficial to the gut and have anti-inflammatory.
Really? What kind is that?
I don't believe it.
It's red wine. Actually, in a study, one of the research articles we found by Clipo Artuno et al., they found that in 10 healthy adult men who consumed red wine daily, for 60 consecutive days.
60 days. Man, I'd sure hate to be part of that study. Am I right, guys?
You might like to be part of that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm signing up.
There was actually benefits I found. So you would like to join that study. There was a significant increase in healthy gut bacteria.
Wow.
And it also, there was a reduced amount of pathogenic or harmful bacteria that was often associated with the onset of inflammatory bowel disease. So it just goes to show that anti-inflammatory effects can be elicited from drinking red wine in moderation.
Do they have ideas why that is versus some of the other alcohols like beer or vodka or gin? Or they didn't really say.
I don't think they elaborated too much. I'm sure it might be stated in the like introduction. But I don't know if they know too much about that yet. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Yeah. So what is the take-home point of all this, you guys? Like, how does this how can you put it in a nice little package for our listeners to make decisions?
Yeah, I think we can each come up with one main takeaway from our podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the big things is I would want the listeners to take away is that heavy alcohol consumption, which we defined earlier, contributes to the whole body inflammation by interfering with the body's natural defenses against harmful chemicals like the endotoxins that we talked about. And as typical byproducts from natural gut microbiota.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point. I would say that a big takeaway is that the consumption of alcohol increases the amount of bad bacteria that we talked about in the gut while actually simultaneously increasing the permeability of the intestinal wall. So therefore, more bacteria can leak through and out of the gut and go into the bloodstream. And this would get transported to all different types of the body, such as the brain, as we talked about. Ultimately, this would lead to both intestinal and whole body inflammation.
Yeah, and piggybacking off of that too, especially with the effects of the whole body inflammation, and like we talked about the gut-brain axis, that alcohol consumption can influence the different hormones that we use to communicate, or our gut and our brain use to communicate, and that can ultimately have some negative implications for our subsequent brain health. And I feel like that is something that needs to be studied further, because we couldn't find too much literature on that, actually.
Excellent. So I think what we're saying is that overall, heavy alcohol, binge drinking, you should really reexamine that and try to limit that or not do that. But if you want to have a glass of red wine each night, then that's been supported by our scientific community that is actually a helpful thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And especially in moderation. Yeah. That is the key takeaway as well.
Yeah. And you guys had some recommendations for people that might feel like that their drinking might be negatively impacting their lives. I think that's important to mention here at the end of the podcast.
Yeah. So if you think your drinking habits have really negatively impacted your relationships, and the ability to participate in work or hobbies, please speak to someone today. The alcohol abuse line is 1-800-662-4357.
So alcohol, you know, any kind of substance use disorder is very serious, and it's important to get the help that you need if that mm-hmm. Has been identified as an issue for you. Mm-hmm. I want to thank the students that were here today and for enlightening us on this topic. I think we did answer the question of what is the inflammatory effect of alcohol consumption on the gut?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. This was great.